of the Earth.
Shell South Africa and Shell dealers throughout the Republic take pleasure in presenting Marjorie Gordon in The Flower Seller. This story of a Piccadilly Circus flower seller has been written by the Natal writer Ernest Michelmore and adapted and produced by Michael Silver for Shell.
Make for the lights. Take a look at the nightlife. Go to town. Get in. Get into the swing. Step out with a crowd. Get places with Super Shell. With confidence, with pleasure. For the life you like, for the action you want, pull in at the Shell sign. There's where the enjoyment starts. So get set. Go well. Go well, go Shell. That's the one to get you to the fun. Shell.
And now, Ernest Mitchell Moore's play, The Flower Seller.
Violet, sweet violet, lovely flowers. I want a beautiful morning. I want a beautiful dawn.
Oh, good morning, Maggie. You're in a good mood this morning.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carter. Hello, wooden face. Isn't it all lovely? The sun's shining. All them pretty girls in their summer dresses.
Yes, it's a lovely day indeed, Maggie. Makes up all the rain and sleet and fog we've had this last week.
Oh, never look back. That's my motto. Your usual, sir.
Yes, please, Maggie. The office would think that the world would come to an end if I didn't arrive at my red carnation.
Here you are, sir. I'll keep this one specially for you. Here, let me fix it for you.
Thank you, Maggie.
Morning, Maggie. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Good morning, Sergeant.
Hello, Fred. Morning duty again.
That's right.
Huh. There you are.
Ah, thank you very much, Maggie.
Thank you.
There we are.
And there's your tip-off change.
Ah, thank you. Oh, well, see you tomorrow.
You will. That's if I'm still alive.
You, Maggie, you're indestructible. I've always said the Piccadilly Circus would never be the same without its god of love and Maggie. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. Oh, what a nice gentleman he is. Here, what's on your mind, Fred? You want a bunch of daisies or something?
You know better than that. I've come to ask you if you've seen anything of young Jim Bruce.
I thought you looked all official-like. Well, how could I have done? He's on national service. There's nothing wrong, is there?
He was released from the army 2 days ago. You've got some questions to put to him. I know how fond you were of him.
What do you want with him? Surprised he hasn't come to see me.
Probably knows we're looking for him, that's why.
What for?
Robbery with violence, that's what.
Oh, no. I can't believe it. He promised Susan. Oh, this is terrible.
I told you before that that youngster's no good. They're all the same. Keep your eyes open, Maggie. If you see him, let us know.
I will.
Thanks.
Correct. Flowers. Lovely flowers. Beautiful violet.
Go on, you, Dana.
Flowers.
Maggie.
Hey.
How much is that bunch of roses?
Those roses, what? Oh. Dora. Is it this thing, Dad?
Yeah.
That bunch. Oh, yeah. Take it. I sprinkled a bit of water on them to make them look fresh. They last a day or two.
Yes, but...
Oh, go on now, buzz off. Mrs. is waiting for you.
Yes.
Hello, Susan.
Hello, Maggie.
I saw you standing outside the criterion waiting for the sergeant to go. You know,
he came to my kicks. I can't believe it. Jimmy would...
Now, don't upset yourself, love. Did you know that Jimmy was coming out of the army? Didn't he write to you?
Of course he did, every week. He wrote and said that his regiment was coming back from Aden, but he didn't say when. It's unbelievable that Jimmy should be in London and not want to get in touch with me. I've only seen him once in the last year. Do you think he met someone else?
What? Some Bedouin's daughter in the Arabian Desert? Oh, Susan, be your age.
It's all very well. I got a letter every week. It was regular as clockwork. And about a month ago, I got a letter that said...
No. Take it easy, kid. Think what?
Well, he used to write and say how much he loved me. You know, he used to put kisses and that sort of thing. Look at it. Let me show you. Here, read it for yourself.
You sure you want me to, kid? You know, I don't like reading other people's letters.
Please.
All right. Dear Sue...
He always used to write, darling. Oh, my darling Sue.
I hope you are well, as it leaves me at present.
I read the newspapers you sent out, for which many thanks. As the War Minister announced in Parliament that the 17th Brigade would be returning to Britain shortly, or so it says in the paper, I suppose I can write this information to you without it being censored. It'll be strange going back to Civvy Street after nearly 2 years in the army, and nearly a year in this godforsaken part of the world. There is much I have to tell you when I get back, and much I have to do. Things are not exactly the same as they were when you waved me goodbye at Southampton Docks. But in my heart of hearts, I do know that there will never be any other girl, ever, to take your place. Ever.
Ever, Jim. Well, now, it doesn't sound like our Jim Bruce, does it?
I didn't know what to do. I didn't reply because, well, he was expected back in England any day. Do you think he's been hearing rumors about me? Well, after all, I have been out once or twice.
Oh, don't be silly. Oh, dear, I wonder what it's all about. Robbery with violence? I just can't believe it.
Why should he? He must have saved quite a bit in the army.
Well, it doesn't add up. Something's wrong. Here, don't look so worried, kid. I'm sure there's some explanation.
Well, what explanation? The police sergeant wouldn't tell me a thing. He just said I was to let him know if Jim tries to contact me.
Hey, here, look at the clock. You should be at work, Margot. Now push off and stop worrying. Oh, my poor feet. It's beginning to get dark early.
Don't switch the light on, Maggie, please.
Jim Bruce.
Sorry to startle you, Maggie, but they can look right through your window from over there. Do you mind drawing the curtains?
Oh, dear. You make me feel like... All right. I'll draw the curtains, Jim Bruce, but I'm not going to be a party to any nonsense that I can tell you.
Where's the switch?
I'll do it. Now, let's have a look at you. Oh, stop cringing in the corner like some frightened rat. Sit down. I'll get you something to drink.
Oh, thanks, Maggie. I know I shouldn't have come here, but I was desperate. I know where to go. No one to turn to.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, come on. Drink this. Oh, not too fast, you fool.
Oh, thanks, Maggie.
Well, that suntan you got, it's difficult.
I'm in trouble, Maggie.
I know you're in trouble. No good you crying. What you're going to do is what you did do. You know what you can get for robbery with violence?
Well, you don't have to tell me.
Jim Bruce, you've done something terrible like robbery with violence. The longer they take to catch you, the longer you'll stay in jail. Angry?
Yeah.
There's plenty of bait in the knees. Where was it? A warehouse? Jewelers?
Pawnbroker.
Now I've heard everything. 2 years they bound you over for. You nearly just made it. Do you know what they'll do to you when they catch you? And they will. Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy, why did you do it? Yes. I'm going to tell the police I've seen you, Jim Bruce. If you want to turn gutter slop, You shouldn't have broke the art of Susan at the same time.
Well, you don't understand, Maggie. It isn't like that at all.
All right. You tell me. Where did you sleep last night, kid?
The old bomb shelter in Endell Street.
All right. So you committed robbery with violence. Where, how, and why?
Well, I got a letter from...
Open up! Open up with the man of the law! Open up, Maggie! We know you've got your proofs in there!
It's for the best, Jim. You can't run around London locked up.
Oh, open up!
You're not going to get me. I won't let you. Maggie, you've got to hide me.
Maggie, I'll give you 1 minute. If you don't open this door, we're going to break it down.
You're making me feel awful, but I'm going to turn you in.
Oh, no, you're not.
He slipped through the window. After him, men!
Listen to the sound of Le Mans. The drama of the Daytona 24 Hour. The Brands Hatch 500 Mile, the Monaco Grand Prix. These are some of the great motor races of the world.
Here, on these engine-punishing endurance tracks, here a motor oil must give the ultimate in lubrication. And that's why so many world champion drivers like Graham Hill and Dennis Hulme rely on Shell motor oil.
From the knowledge, from the experience gained on the great racetracks of the world, Shell has developed a motor oil for you, the motorist. An oil to give you the best in engine protection. Shell Super Motor Oil.
Most world championship races are won on Shell.
Reason enough for using Shell Super Motor Oil in your car?
Dan asked me whether I would have eaten the boy if the police hadn't arrived. Quite honestly, I don't know the answer to this day. But if you'd seen the face of Sergeant Flynn as he came hurtling through my door, you'd have thought that I was responsible for Jim Bruce making his getaway. You've got it all wrong, Fred. I haven't been hiding him.
I know you haven't, Maggie. One of our informers saw him climbing through the window about an hour ago. Instead of reporting the matter right away... this place is like a rabbit warren. No, I've not much hopes of catching him. I'm sorry about the door, but if you'd opened it when I told you to...
Fred, I've been sitting at the foot of here while selling my flowers for over 25 years, and I've never stepped over the line once. You know that. But I wanted the kid to go to the door himself, so it couldn't be said he resisted arrest.
Fair enough. I don't know why you take such an interest in the boy. He's rotten through and through. You know he went to Borstal.
I know. Cripplegate Orphanage, then getting a job as a marker in a billiard hall in Soho, of all places. What sort of chance did the kid have? But I could have put my head on the block that he went absolutely straight when he met Susan Shepherd.
What? Oh, he's been here. Maggie, where is he? They've arrested him. Sergeant, what's going on? Oh, Maggie, where are they taking him to? Where is Jim?
Through that window. I wish I knew. With a bit of luck, my boys might catch him.
But then it's two floors up. He couldn't... Maggie?
What is it?
On that glass. Blood.
Show me. Ah, good. That's a jagged piece of glass. That, he won't get far.
God, you say? He could be bleeding to death. You get stuff.
No. Take it easy, kid.
I'd better get back to Vine Street. Notify all hospitals.
Please, Sergeant, I'm sorry. I know you've got your job to do, but won't you please tell me what Jim Bruce has done?
Yes, all right. It'll only make you feel worse. Two nights ago, Shelton's, the pawnbroker's in Greek Street, was broken into. The owner who lives on the premises heard a noise. He went down to investigate. We found him unconscious. Over 1,000 quid worth of jewelry stolen. Luckily, he was able to give us a description. What am I talking about? He's even able to identify his assailant. It was your friend, Jim Bruce. Happy now. A good day to you both. And remember, if either of you get any news as to his whereabouts and fail to tell the police, you can be charged under Section 40 for withholding information.
I wouldn't slam the door if I were you.
Funny, ha-ha.
Can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
I've known Fred Flynn since he was a flatty. He may be a cop, but he's got a boy Jim's age, and he's got a heart, too. He doesn't like to see a youngster go down there like that.
Here, I wonder what the landlady's going to say when she sees this lot.
Cheer up, Susan. If Jim did what Fred says, he's not worth crying over. Here, you go into the kitchen and put the kettle on, and we'll have a nice cup of chow.
Yes, service man, watching for robbery with violence. Read all about it.
Lovely violence.
There you go. I haven't called him yet.
Good evening, Maggie. It's my daughter's birthday. I thought I'd take home some flowers. Why, hello, Shelton.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Parsons.
I haven't forgotten that account I ran out of the Flamingo the other night.
That's all right, sir. No one's worried.
Well, the fact is, I hadn't anticipated these youngsters consuming so much bubbling. Hardly. Two birthdays in 1 week, a bit much.
Celebrating two birthdays, Mr. Parsons.
Yes. My son Peter was 21 last week, and Gillian celebrates her 18th today.
Oh, well, time flies. Wish you had a return for me.
Oh, thank you, yes, I will. Now, about those flowers.
What would you like? As Mr. Parsons was trying to make up his mind what flowers to take home, something began to bother me. Something to do with Shelton. Jim Bruce. And then I got it. Jack Morris, of course.
Hello.
Doesn't Jack Morris manage the Flamingo Club in Brewer Street?
That's right. My sister works there. Why?
I don't know. But I've got an idea that everything is not right in the state of Denmark. Or if the same is. As soon as I pack up this evening, I'm going around to Susan's desk. Susan, supposing we're all wrong about Jim. Supposing he's done nothing wrong. Supposing he's on the run because he's scared.
Oh, if only it were true. But you heard what the sergeant said. The man he assaulted and robbed recognized.
Oh, you're a sweet kid, but I've been knocking around the West End now for more years than I'd like to mention. I don't suppose you know anything about the Sabini frame-up.
Sabini frame-up?
Yeah. One Sunday morning in Sackville Street, the police got a tip-off that the East Ham gang were breaking into the Bond Street fur warehouse. What happened? The Sabini boys doped the leader of the East Ham gang, threw him inside the warehouse, then telephoned the police. Just when the drug was wearing off. It was common talk in Soho at the time.
He was framed? Do you think Jim's been framed?
I don't know, Dux, but what I do know is that the chap who owns the Shelton's pawn shop also owns the Flamingo. And guess who's the manager of the Flamingo? Jack Morris. Bit of a coincidence, isn't it?
Oh, we must go to the police.
Must we? What are we going to prove? Why is Jim running away? Shelton's...
Oh, Maggie, first you raised my hopes that Jim is innocent and now you...
No. Hold your horses. I've got a better way. Have you met this man, Shelton?
Shelton? Well, the man who was... No. Should I?
No, thank heaven. You shouldn't. You're too nice and sweet. He walks in the shadows. You...
Maggie, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that there's some connection between Jim breaking the jaw of Jack Morris and being hunted by the police.
You think he was framed?
Yes.
But I...
Listen. Jack Morris, Shelton, Louis the Lip, I'm for Jack. They're all part of the gang. On Friday evenings, Jack takes his turn as strong-arm boy in the No Dice Club. Shelton will be in charge of the Flamingo. Now, what you've got to find out...
Good evening, madam. Is the gentleman putting his coat away?
There is no gentleman. At least not tonight. I was hoping to see the manager, Jack Morris.
Jack Morris? He has the wrong club there. I mean, madam, you'll find him at the No Dice.
Oh, dear.
Is there anything I can do?
Well, you see, I was here a few weeks ago with him and a friend, And he said if ever I needed his assistance, I was to call on him.
Assistance? What sort of assistance could a high-class sort of babe like you need?
Well, quite frankly, I've been to a gaming club and it was rather foolish. I lost more than I should. I'm afraid I used Daddy's signature. Dear, I shouldn't be telling you all this.
Come and sit down. I'm just the guy you should tell it to. So this geezer says that if you won't bring your society friends to his club, he'll take your fortune.
Don't use that word, please.
I'm sorry, my dear. By the way, what do they call you when you're at home?
Jennifer.
Jenny, eh? Well, kid, your troubles are at an end. Let me tell you something. Jack Morris is only small fry. I know Sadie of the Trident Club. I'll soon settle his little game. Of course, you know, it's closed for a month. He always closes this time of the year. Goes to see his parents in Italy.
So I was told. Supposing he sends...
Have you told him you won't play ball?
I've been stalling him.
Look, we can't talk here. You never know. Any one of these characters could be a copper's knock. Why don't you come upstairs to the office? Here, drink this. Don't worry, it's not a Mickey Finn.
Jack Morris was so kind. He might be furious.
Jack Morris furious? Don't make me laugh. Here, let me show you something. Now, look at that. Watches, brooches, tie-pins, all lying here because of Jack Morris. I could have flogged like his banana. Now, baby, do you want me to help you or not?
Yes.
You say you forged a check. Tell me, was it on it?
Yes. Swine. I mean, Tony took a photostatic copy of it. Daddy doesn't even know what's in his bank account. You see, I was a bit drunk, and I wrote his signature in front of them.
But didn't the check come back to the bank?
Yes. I'm afraid I took it out of Daddy's desk. I've got it with me.
You have, have you? Well, give it to me. Thank you. Now, baby, you've just handed me a piece of dynamite. This can send you up for 5 years.
And you for 10.
Why, you double-crossing...
All right, cousin, grab him, then! I always did say, Maggie, that you knew more about the West End of London than any other living person.
Well, I get to know a lot of people sitting at the foot of the Eros.
But, Jim, what about Jim?
Oh, don't you worry. We've issued a statement to the press that a man called Edward Shelton and another named Jack Morris have been charged with attempting to defeat the ends of justice. It also contained a statement that Jim Bruce is innocent of any wrongdoing. That should bring him out of his lair, wherever it is. But, Maggie, didn't you take an awful chance sending that sweet girl to the Flamingo on her own? How did you know that Shelton would invite her to his office?
You want to ask Harry, the paper seller. His sister works there. These Romeos, they never change their technique. You see, if the robbery was faked, what'd they do with the loot? It was a gamble and it came off.
Your young man's still not in the clear. We found his fingerprints on the glass counter.
Oh, there'll be some explanation for that, I'll be bound. Oh, I wonder where he is. Poor.
Do you mind if I switch on the radio, listen to the news?
Go ahead. And the last item of news. Jack Morris and Edward Shelton appeared before the Bow Street magistrate this morning on a charge of attempting to defeat the ends of justice. It will be remembered that Shelton, who owns a pawnbroking establishment in Soho, claimed to have been assaulted and robbed. The police commissioner's office has issued a statement that Mr. Jim Bruce, who was wanted for questioning, has been an innocent victim of conspiracy.
Well, thank heaven. I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to hide. Oh, I should have known better. But while I was in Aden, I got this letter from my brother. He said that Jack Morris came to see him. He said that a pawnbroker named Shelton was putting the block on him. They forced him into the drug racket. That he'd agreed. Otherwise, when I came out of the army, they were going to do for me. Well, I hadn't heard from Tom for 10 years. I knew he'd got a wife and 3 kids and was working in a bank somewhere. Well, of course, he hadn't sent that letter. It was all a fake. A trick to get me round to Shelton's. You and your rotten, stinking rackets. I've come straight from the Army Release Depot to tell you that if you don't leave my brother alone, I'll do for you, see?
You haven't got the guts. You've got the screws on your brother, and we're going to make him tighter.
What the? I'd better get out of here. I booked in at the Palace Hotel. I knew it was no good phoning you, Susan, until 5 o'clock. I've been travelling all night. I had a kipper on the bed, and I thought I'd go and see you, Maggie. And as I was walking across the circus, I heard Harry shouting.
Read all about it! The judge told you what a hotel to rob me! Four brokers! Read all about it!
And I knew I'd been framed. I knew no one would believe me. I thought when I hit him, he must have had a heart attack or something.
Oh, Jim. You poor darling.
You're lucky you got away when you jumped through Maggie's window. Where'd you get to?
Well, a mate of mine, he'd just come out of the army. I told him everything. I needed time, see? I needed time to prove I'd been trained.
And Maggie did it for you.
Well, I'll never be able to thank you enough, Maggie.
Oh, nonsense. So long as all's well that ends well. Hey, blimey, look at the time. I'll get a gift back to here or some summer flowers. Lovely flowers. Violets, sir. Beautiful violets. Oh, hello, Mr. Carson. Lovely evening, ain't it?
Delightful. You know, Maggie, despite all the traffic and the noise, there's something so serene and permanent about Piccadilly Circus, don't you think?
And so ends The Flower Seller by Ernest Michelmore. Maggie was played by Marjorie Gordon. The sergeant was John Hayter. And Susan was Diane Wilson. Others in the cast were Gordon Mulholland, Gabriel Bayman, and Jimmy White.
Throughout the world, oil companies have been searching for an answer to oil fatigue. Shell found it. New Shell Super, the oil that stays as good as new from one oil change to the next. New Shell Super, today's best motor oil. For new ideas in action, you can be sure of Shell.
The play was adapted and produced by Michael Silver for Shell.